The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, TUC says it will resist any attempt by government to impose any pension scheme on public sector workers. Cocoa Board initiates program to supply free fertilizer to cocoa farmers. 5-year strategic plan to tackle neglected tropical diseases launched. Health ministers meeting in Accra say $10 million is urgently required to manage the Ebola disease. Britain to train and equip 100,000 rebels in Syria. And former Minister of Youth and Sports apologizes to President and Ghanaians for any mishap in Brazil. But first, we take the summary with George Ankara.
The TUC says it will not allow government to impose the second-tier pension scheme on public sector workers in its current form. Speaking to Radio Ghana on concerns against the scheme, the Secretary General, Dr. Kofi Asamoah, said the institutional framework to implement the scheme is not yet in place. Cocoa Board has instituted a program to supply free fertilizer to cocoa farmers. The chief executive of the board, Dr. Stephen Opuni, said the initiative will help farmers in the application and utilization of fertilizers, since a substantial number of cocoa farmers are unable to afford and properly apply fertilizers. A 5-year strategic master plan, which is an initiative of the Ghana Health Service and its development partners, has been launched in Accra. The objective is to find ways to do away with the 10 neglected tropical diseases which have delayed Ghana's socioeconomic development, especially in rural areas. West African ministers meeting in Accra say $10 million is urgently needed as a startup money to tackle the Ebola virus in the sub-region. They also said border closure in West Africa is not the ultimate means to control the deadly virus. They, however, said a common inter-regional strategy for accelerated response to the virus is fundamental. The United Kingdom is planning to train and equip about 100,000 strong anti-Assad forces to defeat Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The secret initiative put forward 2 years ago was deemed by UK and US officials as too risky. And the Minister of Youth and Sports, the former Minister of Youth and Sports, Elvis Afriye Ankra, has apologized to President Mahama and Ghanaians for the abysmal performance of the Black Stars and anything that happened during their stay in Brazil. The former minister and his deputy were removed from office by President Mahama after the exit of the Stars.
CBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
And now the news in detail. The TUC says it has taken note of concerns of public sector workers on the second-tier pension scheme. Stating the union's position on the implementation of the scheme, the Secretary General, Dr. Kofi Asamoah, said the union, in collaboration with public sector unions, would use all means to resist the imposition of any pension scheme on workers. Speaking to Radio Ghana's George Ankara, Dr. Asamoah said the TUC remains ready to support government's efforts aimed at addressing the prevailing economic and social challenges.
It cannot be the TUC, organized labor generally, were part of those who agitated for the new pension scheme to be introduced. And if you may recall, we did it with the understanding that the current state pension cannot be able to bring about any improved pensions as it is, given the way it is structured. So yes, workers generally, it's not the TUC alone, if you check the teachers union, the civil servants, and all public sector unions and all other unions, we all joined together in advocating for the new pension scheme. So the new pension scheme has been put in place for some time now. It's going through various challenges. Although right now we know that almost all workers, both private and public, will have to register a scheme under the second tier. The challenge is that some workplaces have not yet registered. It's also a fact that payments of the second tier into the new second tier pension scheme has not gone on appropriately. Change in also also the board of the board of trustees has also affected the whole scheme. So currently we have information to the effect that within the next 6 months people may qualify for the second tier, but the institutional framework is not yet perfectly done, so it's going to be quite challenging. Beyond that, whereas the law allows various workers and employees to form their own schemes, government is said to be imposing a scheme on public sector workers. The public sector workers like the education service have established their own scheme. Those in the health sector have established their own scheme. Those in the social service have also established their own scheme. So we do not see why government should impose any level of scheme on the workers. There are some engagements going on, but what government should do is not to impose. I think they will need to have to sit down and ensure. And we support the public sector workers in the civil service, in the teachers unions, and also in the health sector who have established their own schemes.
Some, of, the fact them, that some of them are now calling for a national debate, so some amendment on the issue. Do you agree?
Of course, if we have established a law and there are some defects of it. For instance, the argument is that, you know, there was a line drawn for 55 years and above. It's becoming very clear that if you are, say, 50 years, it will be difficult to get some appreciable money by 55 years. So what is coming out is whether it should not be brought down to say 50 and above, continuing to be part of the SNES scheme, so that it can allow room for enough time to generate the fund. All these things are coming out, and we are really discussing. What is at hand is that we are joining public sector unions to kick against any imposition.
But already some people have been paid because they've gone on pension and the law has caught up with them. What are you talking about?
No, it's in the next 6 months, because the thing was cut at 55 and above. All those who have gone up have been paid by SNES. They are not part of the new pension scheme second tier.
Okay.
So the time is started. It's 55 and above, which means that anybody who is retiring around that time will be treated for by their own SNES pension. It's only those who will be going in the next 6 months from now that, if these things are not put in proper place, will bring about a problem.
Dr. Kofi Asamoah, the second tier pension scheme. Meanwhile, the union has expressed worry over the delay in implementing the Senchi consensus after over 2 months of the meeting. Drawing attention to the deteriorating economic situation, the TUC says policy changes recommended at the Senchi consensus in the Senchi consensus can address the short, medium and long-term challenges confronting the economy. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, urged government to take steps to implement the Senchi consensus as it makes efforts to address the challenges confronting the economy.
We recommended some policy changes, and we strongly believe that that led to a consensus, which consensus was attended by various people. So the meeting really looked at that and expressed concern. It also looked at the economy generally, the city that continues to depreciate in spite of the exchange control, and also noticed that prices keep on rising and affecting nominal income, and that is really having a toll on working people. So some various issues on the economy, the fact that the National Health Insurance is facing financial stress, the money is needed to pay to health providers, and then the fact that specific payments to agencies are not going, and drew attention generally to government about the hardships in the country. The meeting also discussed the 17% VAT, even though we are told that it's been suspended. The meeting has that it's been done away with completely. And from all indications, the effects were going to be transferred by the banks to consumers. The meeting analyzed the fact that workers are compelled to take their pay from the banks. And if those things were going to come, then it's definitely going to undermine the need for a banking system to be working as it were. But generally, the meeting also said that, on the other hand, if it is the huge profit that the banks are making, which is the issue, then the government rather should be looking at, in a way, taxing the super profits of the banks.
Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah. Cocoa Board will soon introduce an initiative to supply free fertilizer to cocoa farmers. The initiative will also help farmers in the application and utilization of the fertilizers. The Chief Executive Officer of Cocoa Board, Dr. Stephen Opuni, said this when he addressed a meeting of the 2014 Cocoa Board syndication loan presentation in London. Dr. Opuni explained that Cocoa Board is initiating the free fertilizer project because a substantial number of cocoa farmers in Ghana are unable to afford and properly utilize fertilizer. Cocoa Board would use the services of cocoa extension officers to educate the farmers on its proper application to ensure maximum yield. We bring you a news desk story.
The annual Cocoa Board Finance Facility Syndication meeting was held in central London last month. The meeting was organized by bankers as part of the process before the signing ceremony, which takes place in September. The event entails a presentation to the prospective bankers, an overview of the Ghanaian macroeconomic situation, as well as provide a forum for Cocoa Board to pitch to prospective bankers a detailed business plan for the $1.6 billion trade finance facility they intend to raise. Head of Economics at NatExis, Dr. Sylvain Breuer, who presented a paper on Ghana's macroeconomic outlook, said, having joined the group of middle-income sub-Saharan economies in 2011, Ghana has already become the biggest economy among its peers. He, however, added that economic growth since 2011 has been slowing down and the current rate of 6% is below the long-term average for emerging economies. He attributed this widening of budget policy to the twin deficits of a significant rise in subsidies and payrolls in 2012 and interest payments in 2013. Within the larger context of the country's positive economic outlook indicator, the chief executive officer of Cocoa Board, Dr. Stephen Opuni, told the meeting that Ghana is confident of crossing the 2013-2014 projection of 800,000 tons to over 950,000 metric tons of cocoa in the season. He said with good rain and pilot program of fertilizer application by cocoa extension farmers, he is positive of the increase in tonnage from the main and light crop seasons. He said an amount of $200 million raised in March 2012 to support yield improvement programs, quality assurance and warehouse expansion projects is currently being serviced and payment is expected to be completed in June 2015. Ghana's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, Victor Emmanuel Smith, said he is encouraged by the macroeconomic outlook of Ghana.
That was a news desk report. A five-year strategic master plan to tackle neglected tropical diseases has been launched in Accra. The document, which is an initiative of the Ghana Health Service and its development partners, seeks to find measures that will help eliminate 10 targeted diseases that have burdened Ghana and hampered its socioeconomic development, especially in the rural areas. The outgoing Minister of Health, Madame Sherry Aiti, said the five-year plan will achieve its goal through a mass drug administration system. Priscilla Usuanta reports.
Among the 10 targeted diseases include Buruli ulcer, yaws, leprosy, onchocerciasis, also known as river blindness, and elephantiasis. These diseases are often referred to as tropical diseases, NTDs, and as the name suggests, they have not been given much attention, hence the difficulty in eliminating them. Madame Sherry Aiti said government is now committed to fighting these diseases and has made a lot of financial contribution towards the implementation of policies in the fight against them. She said the five-year strategic plan will also serve as a tool for resource mobilization and a guide for program implementation of goals such as prevention, control, and elimination of NTDs. The program's manager of NTDs at the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Nana Kwejo-Brichum, said NTDs stigmatize, disable, and inhibit individuals from caring for themselves or their families, and this promotes poverty. He cited onchocerciasis, which is prevalent in 9 regions and 91 districts out of the 216 in Ghana. Dr. Brichum said the plan is in the right direction as refusing to plan is planning to fail. In the five-year period, there will be house-to-house drug administration, especially in the rural areas, by public health officials and volunteers. It will be with financial assistance from USAID.
That was Priscilla Owusu-Ansan's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. TUC says it will resist any attempt by government to impose any pension scheme on public sector workers. Cocoa Board initiates program to supply free fertilizer to cocoa farmers. 5-year strategic plan to tackle neglected tropical diseases launched. Health ministers meeting in Accra say $10 million is urgently required to manage the Ebola disease. Britain to train and equip 100,000 rebels in Syria. And former Minister of Youth and Sports apologizes to President and Ghanaians for any mishap in Brazil.
TBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
This is Radio Ghana News networking all IFM stations across the country. The WHO says border closure in West Africa is not the ultimate means to control the deadly Ebola virus. It says what is paramount is financial commitment, an effective surveillance system coupled with strong political will by heads of member states. This is because $10 million is urgently needed as startup money to tackle the disease in the sub-region. Also, a common inter-regional strategy for accelerated response to the virus is fundamental. These sentiments were raised in Accra during a media briefing on the disease. Irabna Paha and Esther Adumako have filed this report.
Flung by Ghana's outgoing health minister, Director General of the Ghana Health Service, representative of 11 West African countries among other stakeholders, WHO Director in Ghana, Dr. Louis Gomez Sambu, read the communique after the two-day meeting and said inter-trade within the sub-region makes tracking of the disease difficult. However, the organization is to set up surveillance camps along the borders to monitor and track the disease.
Borders are a sovereign issue and they belong to countries in terms of whether to keep them open or to close them. But it's also clear that from good public health practice and what we've learned from outbreaks over the past many years, that it's very hard simply to stop disease spread at borders. In fact, we have really moved away from this. When you close borders, you increase anxiety, you increase adverse effects, you make people very worried, and you can harm economies, you can harm communities without stopping the disease. And this is why with the current Ebola outbreak, what we are really trying to do is find the infections in communities to make sure that people who are sick get taken care of and people who may be infected are in fact able to be watched so that they are taken care of if they develop illness. And this is really the most effective way to deal with Ebola and to break the transmission that way.
Ghana's outgoing health minister Shariaita said government will financially resource the Noguchi Memorial Institute to carry out research into the Ebola virus.
The national task force multi-sectoral. We have Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Transport, and Ministry of Social Protection, Ministry of Health, and because they have wildlife. So we will have a multi-sectoral task force so that we can effectively implement the strategic plan.
Following the emergence of Ebola virus in West Africa and the threat it poses to regional and global public health, WHO convened a two-day emergency meeting of ministers of health and partners to deliberate on ways to combat the disease in the sub-region.
That was Irabna Paha and Esther Adumako's report. An ECOWAS trade negotiation capacity building inter-institutional committee meeting has opened in Accra with a call on participants to find ways to overcome obstacles hindering trade between member states. Ghana's Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, who made the call in a speech read for him, charged participants to also build the capacity of the ECOWAS Commission to negotiate for its members. He noted that with regard to the European Partnership Agreement, Ghana will pursue negotiations alongside other West African countries. This will not make the country lose out on major trade agreements and benefits. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
The two-day inter-institutional committee meeting, amongst other things, seeks to analyze trade policies in the sub-region and build capacity in negotiating strategies. It will also coordinate and build consensus on trade-related issues between government, ministries, private sector, civil society, and major stakeholders in trade. The Director of Multilateral and Regional Trade at Ghana's Ministry of Trade, Nyami Befi, read the minister's speech. He said the institutional committee meeting has been keen in establishing major trade among ECOWAS member states and other continents. Mr. Befi called on participants to deliberate and come up with key trade issues which have regional initiatives in character, notably on how to penetrate into markets in Africa.
Our light industry is partner of the International Committee for playing an advising role by bringing all stakeholders together to ensure coordination among them. Building the capacity of the committee members will go a long way to empower Ghana in particular and West Africa in general to efficiently and effectively participate and do well in negotiations at different levels to reap maximum benefits from international trade.
The project coordinator of trade negotiation capacity building, Kola Wole Sofola, said the African continent is endowed with rich resources which must be tapped into. He said pragmatic measures must be put in place to increase trade from the current 10% among member states to about 40%.
This is an opportunity to discuss together how to build on the achievements and improve the functioning of the IIC. I am sure a key issue for discussion would be how to sustain the functioning of the IIC. At the current stage of the PNTB growth to an end, an independent evaluation of the project will be undertaken with a view to designing the next phase based on the achievements of the project.
The Inter-Institutional Committee will discuss topics such as West Africa's signing of the European Partnership Agreement, ECOWAS Common External Tariff, as well as the review of terms of reference of the committee.
That was Antoinette Burr's report. The new Municipal Chief Executive for Adentan, Benjamin Ngenu, has begun a familiarization tour of the municipality to interact with the chiefs and elders and also inspect some projects. Radio Ghana's Natre Soa, who was with the MCE, says the tour took the team to Otano, Ngaijom, Adaman, and Ashalibutri communities. The chiefs hoped that major infrastructural projects will commence as soon as possible to reduce the hardships they are facing in their communities. They asked the MCE not to hesitate to consult them when the need arises. Ms. Angeta noted that as a development-oriented person, he will ensure that the municipality is given a facelift and priority will be given to all projects which were stalled due to the absence of an MCE. Ms. Angeta urged the people to assist in solving the problems facing the municipality.
There is a need for me to go around to know our chiefs and to officially introduce myself to them because they are partners in development and they are directly involved with the people down there, and so they know what they really need. Sometimes leaders, we think to believe that we know what they need and then we decide for them, but sometimes it is not what they need. So there is a need for you to go down and then ask their views as to what are their needs, especially the urgent ones, for us to see how best we tackle them.
What new thing are you bringing on board for the municipality to improve that they say they are lacking behind some developmental projects? So what would you like to bring on board?
Now, it is true that we have lagged behind because of the delay in having a chief executive. Some of our rules are too bad. So those ones are the urgent ones that we need to tackle as early as possible. Now, if you had the opportunity to be with us in the evening, you realize that almost everywhere is that. Now, we have agreed that even the number of street lights that was projected for us to get, we have increased it because of the darkness that we experience at night, even when there's light. So security-wise, we want to enhance that aspect. Since Monday, I've been looking around. There are certain communities that don't really have school. That children walk some distance before getting to the nearer place that they can access education. We are looking at that. I have met some opinion leaders who are even willing to get us some piece of land to be able to put up those things for them.
So what would be your relationship? You being in high office and the grassroots?
I consider myself to be a grassroots man, so they know me. Even though I have purpose in my mind that I will not let the office be a party office, I cannot also for my activities.
That was the new municipal chief executive for Adentan, Benjamin Ngenu, talking to Na Atre Soa. The Ghana Revenue Authority, GRA, will soon take African Automobile Limited, AAL, to court to enforce the payment of 6.1 million cedis tax on the 8.2 million Ghana cedis interest it obtained from court for supplying Mitsubishi spare parts and sourcing of vehicles for 18 state institutions from 1995 to 2010. The Assistant Commissioner in charge of policy and programs at the Domestic Tax Division of GRA, Edward Jamra, disclosed this when he appeared before the Judgment Desk Commission in Accra. He noted that the commission, he told the commission that interest is income earned, so it is taxable. According to him, GRA calculated the tax at 25% and imposed a penalty of 200% on AAL for failing to disclose the amount it collected from the Jadman debt. Ms. Jamra said GRA will use the provision in the tax law by going to court to enforce payment. At this point, the Commissioner, Justice Yaopo, said the state is losing a lot of money because a large number of Ghanaians have collected Jadman debts without paying tax. He therefore promised to furnish GRA with the names of the beneficiaries to enable the authority chase them for the money. On the foreign front, Ugandan police has stepped up security in the capital, Kampala, following a specific threat of a planned attack on its main international airport. The U.S. Embassy warned of a threat to attack Entebbe Airport between yesterday, but no incidents were reported. The army said troops have been deployed at the airport and in the city. The UK has put up plans to train and equip about 10,000 strong Syrian rebel army to defeat President Bashar al-Assad. The secret initiative put forward 2 years ago was a brainchild of the then most senior UK military officer, General Sir David Richards. Reports say the plan was considered by the Prime Minister David Cameron and the National Security Council as well as US officials, but was deemed too risky. Now, football. Former Minister of Youth and Sports, Elvis Efie Ankara, has apologized to the people of Ghana and the President for anything that happened in Brazil and the performance of the Black Stars. Elvis Efie Ankara and his deputy, Joseph Yamin, were removed from the sports ministry in the wake of the country's disastrous outing at the 2014 World Cup. The President, John Dramani Mahama, took the decision just 48 hours after the country crashed out of the World Cup and chaos in the Stars' camp over the delay in paying players' appearance fees, which caused embarrassment to the country. The former minister arrived at the Kutuka International Airport last night from Brazil, where Radio Ghana's sports correspondent, Prince Peter Suman, had a chat with him.
Mr. Efie Ankara arrived at exactly 10 p.m. last night from the Turkish Airways and was dressed in his black African print and was glad to be back home. He was the leader of Ghana's delegation and was sorry that he couldn't fulfill his promise that he was going to make history at the 2014 FIFA World Cup. The former sports minister congratulated the new minister for youth and sports, Mahama Ayariga, and Mr. Ankara again promised to make account of every city spent in Brazil.
Thank you very much. I wasn't expecting the media here, but I'd like to say that I'm glad to be back. You know that the past few days have been very, very challenging for me. We went to Brazil with the expectation that we were going to do better than our previous performance. Unfortunately, that did not happen, and therefore Ghanaians are justifiably disappointed and angry. I am more disappointed than anybody else. And as leader of the delegation, I'd like to use this opportunity to apologize to all Ghanaians for what happened and also for the behavior of the team, both on the field and off the pitch. Many, many things happened, for which I'll give an appropriate account at the right time. Needless to say that I feel the pain and disappointment of Ghanaians.
Former Minister of Youth and Sports, Elvis Efie Ankara, talking to Prince Peace Isuman. And now to end the news, the main points again. The TUC says it will not allow government to impose the second-tier pension scheme on public sector workers in its current form. Speaking in an interview with Radio Ghana on concerns against the scheme, the Secretary General, Dr. Kofi Asamoah, said the institutional framework to implement the scheme is not yet in place. Cocoa Board has initiated a program to supply free fertilizer to cocoa farmers. The Chief Executive Officer of Cocoa Board, Dr. Stephen Oponi, said the initiative, which will soon be introduced, will help farmers in the application and utilization of fertilizers. West African Health Ministers meeting in Accra say $10 million is urgently needed as a startup money to tackle the Ebola virus in the sub-region. The UK is preparing to train and equip about 100,000 strong anti-Assad force to defeat Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, and the former Minister of Youth and Sports has apologized to President Mahama and Ghanaians for the abysmal performance of the Black Stars and anything that happened during the stay in Brazil. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra.